morning. If you got your Bible with you, and I trust you do or can find one, we're going to be in one book this morning hour of the Bible, 1 Peter. 1 Peter, we're going to be looking at several verses, and many times as we look at some topics in the life of Christ, many of those verses will overlap with others. But as a local church, we've gathered to be obedient to the Scriptures and follow the words of instruction from the one who has redeemed us, to whom we belong. And as his dying wish was that his blood-purchased people would gather, as with this morning, and remember him by way of his instructions in the ordinance here of, as we call it, the Lord's table. So today, in doing that, we direct your attention to the book of 1 Peter. Peter, of course, sat there at the table with the Lord. He traveled with the Lord, one of the Lord's disciples and apostles. And he listened to the Lord. He disagreed with the Lord. He argued with the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord. He one time turned from the Lord and returned to the Lord Jesus, became a powerful witness for the person of Christ, and wrote two books, of course, and we're looking at the one there this morning hour as our time together. And thinking on three topics, you can see it in the outline that we sent along. You might look at it and say, no, this is a Baptist preacher, and he's got about 100 verses there out of that book, and boy, I should have brought lunch and supper with me. No, our supper time is at the Lord's table this day, and we are not going to spend as long as it might look, though we are going to read the verses, and as we've said, some will be read more than once because they deal with more than one of the three topics that we're looking at here. So our part one for just a few moments here is this morning hour, the Lord Jesus Christ who created. And you've got the outline. I'm just going to use it as well as you have it and just get our minds thinking down through as we come to the supper table with the Lord of who he is. I think many times it becomes just, well, we do this because we're supposed to do it. But remember the person here. And so I remind us this morning hour that we believe in God the Father. We often say, our Father who art in heaven, or we pray to our Father, and we start our prayers that way, as we should. Well, we believe in God the Father. Here's reasons why, you know, we take it out of the Scriptures. It's not just a religious thing, a church thing, per se. It is that of what the Word of God teaches. So 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, sanctification of the Spirit and of obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of the Lord Jesus. And it goes on into verse 3, you know, grace be to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And if you'd look down to verse 17 in the same chapter, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. So God, the author of salvation, and our Heavenly Father, we remember, we think on him who sent his Son. And we move right along to the next little section that we have there. We believe that Almighty God is Christ. Why do we believe that? Well, chapter 4 and verse 11 of 1 Peter, because of the teachings of the Scriptures. It's not just a dogma someone wrote down someplace that sounded good, but it's what's in the Scriptures. So 4:11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as to the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as to the ability which God supplies. And in all things, that in all things God be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then 5:6, as you look to the next chapter, where we're told to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We must not forget it is Almighty God. We are gathered in his presence and following his will by way of doing what's been placed before us here in the scriptures. And we have there, right at the very end of chapter 4 and verse 11, as you look back there, what's the last word therein? Chapter 4 and verse 11. Amen. All right. That is so. Amen. So let's do it, or see to it. Follow through on it. It is what it is. That's our testimony, too. What the scriptures say regarding him, we say, so be it, so it is. And that's what our lives are set upon. So as Jesus Christ, hanging on the cross, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And so we say the same, Father, as we're gathered here. Our lives each and every day, we place our lives into your hands. Everything about our lives, we place into his faithful hands. And that we remember today as we come to the table. You know, the hands on the table of the Lord, the disciples, and here now our lives, hands placed in his as we think upon it. And we believe, in the last place here, we believe that Jesus Christ is Creator and God's only begotten Son. So I read from chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse 3. Remember who we believe in and who we're sitting at the table with this morning. And here's what he has done for us and how we are to be serving and worshiping him. Blessed is verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved or distressed by various trials. And why is that taken place? Why trials? Well, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. You and I gathered here this morning, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, and not to themselves, but to us. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So what do we do with it? Well, therefore, let's gird up the loins of our minds. Be sober. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. A great day of remembering who it is, why we're gathered together. So which book are we continuing in? You're with me. There's Peter. Always good to know when folks out front are awake and watching, listening. And we're glad you are. So 1 Peter. We thought a little bit in just a few verses with regard to our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus being the Creator. And we move ahead now a little bit as our hearts, minds, prepared thinking on this table, the time with the Lord and why it was set up. And we just think of Jesus Christ who came. You got to think of Peter and the time he spent with Christ and things he said to Christ and Christ to him. And now he's written these two books, and we're looking at the first one here. And we're thinking down through here when we come to the Lord's table of the of Christ who suffered, of his suffering. So 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11, where we just read, and we are coming back to it because of how it ties in here as with some other verses. But Christ who suffered. 1 Peter 1:11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. As we look back into the scriptures and we would see Isaiah chapter 11, perhaps in particular Isaiah chapter 53, which recorded the sufferings of Christ that were going to take place. And in great detail, in those chapters it sets forth. And here's so the testimony, the testifying of those of the old, of testifying of things that they would be those people would be long gone who spoke about these things that took place. Chapter 2 and verse 21, as we continue on, 2, 21 and then 23. And we read as follows, thinking of the suffering of Christ, of him who came. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. And verse 23, of course, 22, he committed no sin. 23, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges rightly. Chapter 4 and verse 1 as well. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For we who have suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin. Sometimes the word cease throws people off a little bit. It says, speaking of the idea of not living in sin. We lived there, now we don't. Our lives are not controlled and run in sin or the things that come forth by way of it. And it doesn't mean we don't struggle with sin, but it's not our God, as it were. Verse 13, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. We're to arm ourselves, we read here, with regard to this mind that was in Christ. Are our minds upon Christ? I have to think of the Lord's table, and it should not be just a service added at the end of another service, but it should be as we're doing, I believe, the whole service. And there are questions brought out when we read these scriptures. And are we willing, as we easily partake of the Lord's Supper, are we as willing to suffer for him as we are to gather and partake? Today, this fourth day of November is often set forth as a day of remembering the persecuted church, those believers under persecution, suffering. We truly have not ourselves suffered from the standpoint of knowing Christ as Savior. Perhaps we've had some family members who have disagreed with us, some others who have not, but we are not threatened with the idea because we're gathered here today. We haven't had to lock the doors and turn off the lights, or we aren't meeting at night in some hidden place for fear someone would find out we're reading the Bible. There are multitudes of hundreds of thousands that are in that situation this very day. They are suffering for the cause of Christ. They haven't the openness to gather and meet as we have this day, and it behooves us to remember them before our Savior and theirs in prayer. So Christ suffered. Christ was crucified, chapter 1 and verse 2. Chapter 1 and verse 2, Christ was crucified according to the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. That speaks of death. His blood was shed. In chapter 2 and verse 24, reminds us also, as Peter writes, thinking of his Savior and the one he spent the time with. And we are, you know, we spend time with Christ. When you read in the Word, you're spending time with Him. And we're thinking about what took place. So chapter 2 and verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. I'm in 21, you said. Where is he at? 24 now. For Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, you and I gathered here, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes or death you were healed. It's not a healing of the physical body, it's a caring for our spiritual needs in Christ. So we partake. As we partake here, we're testifying to the fact we believe this Christ was God in the flesh who died on the cross shedding His blood for us. Well, we're not sin servants anymore as we might well have been before. Then Christ died, chapter 3 and verse 18. Christ died. For Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but having, but made alive in the Spirit. Christ died for our sins. It's the only way to God. There is no other way. It's not a matter of choices and deciding some way I like is to get to God. But no, it's the one and only way there is to get to God. Christ died for our sins. And then Christ preached. Chapter 3 and verse 18, where we have just read, and we press on into verse 19, by whom also He went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, for which a few, that is, eight were saved through water. Jesus preached constantly during His 3 years of ministry upon this earth. reminds us that whatever number of years God has given us, we are proclaimers of his word, giving it out. But here's a different preaching setting recorded for us in these verses 19 and 20. Now, verse 18 reminded us of Christ as the supreme example of suffering, of one who suffered. He patiently endured suffering. And his suffering was to the extreme limit of what a body can withstand. And then his life was violently ripped from him. Now, verse 19 reports to us that Jesus, as a man at death, then as a man in his body, his resurrected body, was able to go to where the evil spirits were in prison, there waiting for judgment. And I believe he goes there to announce to them his victory over death. These were those who died prior to the time of the ark, or lived in that time prior to the ark, and at the time when all those years went by, what, 120, right? The word was being preached. How many years has it been now? The word's been being preached since Christ went back to glory, you know. Great multitudes of years going by, and so many did not heed then before Noah and the flood worldwide, have not been heeding today before Christ's coming and his return to this very earth at any day, any moment. So these were those prior to and at the time of the ark, who had been preached with regard to the judgment to come, but refused to believe the message of God from Noah by way of the ark. And it always reminds us, what are we believing today? We can sit in church multitudes in many years and hear the same thing, but have not believed what the Bible has said about certain judgment that is coming. And the Lord's table is the message before us of a Savior who came, who in a body and gave his life by the shedding of his blood, so that this day you might hear there is a Savior and you need him because you are a sinner and you can be redeemed from the surety of judgment in hell that's even spoken about here in these verses. So to herald, it says in verse 19, I know you caught that, by whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison. The word preach is not always talks about the gospel. We can do some proclaiming, heralding without the gospel, though that always enters our minds because we're thinking with regard to the message of Christ. But here is not the word to evangelize, but it's an announcement, a proclaiming an announcement. And so the years before the worldwide flood are expressed loudly by way of God's great patience and grace with the lost, just as it is today. God's great grace is expressed and set forth this very day. We are glad to announce, as the Scripture announces, Christ not only died in that horrendous suffering and way, but Christ arose, chapter 1 and verse 3. It's a song to sing and have before us not only at a time called Easter, or I call it Resurrection Day. Every Sunday, every single Sunday is Resurrection Day. Time to remember we serve a living Savior. And Christ arose. So we come back to remind ourselves here in chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. What is that living hope? Well, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Glorious remembrance time with regard to that. And verse 21, as well fills in for us this information, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. He's saying if there any place else, any other situation, then they're of no value. And you have no hope. Chapter 3 and verse 21. He says, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, that is, baptism doesn't wash us and make us a Christian, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's all about Christ, death, burial, resurrection, and soon we'll talk about his coming again. So Christ ascended into heaven, chapter 3 and verse 22, right where we're at. He ascended into heaven. Who has gone into heaven? Where is he there? He's at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. They're all subject to him. Indeed, where are we at? Are we subject to him? If he has purchased us, we are. And what's he doing there? He is sitting at God's right hand, and you read that in chapter 1 and verse 20. Just before we sing together again, we have this chapter 1 and verse 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest, it was revealed in these last days. Notice it, folks, in these last days for you. You who through him believe in God. Do you believe in God through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Are they? That where it is, faith and hope in him, and remembering him. That's the one purpose of the Lord's table. Remember Christ, who he is, what he did, what he's doing, what he's going to do. Might it be up on our minds as we partake this morning. Truth in the song you just sung with regard to the great gloriousness of Christ who has suffered, who has died, who has ascended back to glory, who has there in the resurrected body intercedes for us, and here he is left with us. Remember, remember, remember. And I would add with that R, you know, rejoice, 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 that we have such a glorious Savior and what he has left with us to remember. And so we have this remembrance time that he has set forth. The Lord Jesus set it up. It does not that which belongs to a particular church, religion, denomination. Belongs to the local church. Those redeemed by the blood of Christ, as we've read of this morning hour. So we have before us, you know, some bread. It's not any particular bread, crackers. I didn't come in early this morning and somehow bless it, nor did any of the deacons or anything. You know, it's bread. It's crackers. Same with the juice. Years ago when I was in helping out in, forgot the country I went to now, and that awful, Romania. And a man wanted to show us up in the mountains at some monastery, and we went to it, and he was showing us the big sanitary water system. And he says, and the priest comes in every day and he blesses this water tank. And I said, well, I guess I better not touch it then. It's been He got a chuckle out of it. But, you know, no one came in and touched them. And at least I don't think. I haven't double-checked. I don't think anyone did that. But it is that which it pictures and sets forth and represents what we've been reading about this morning hour. To, you know, we're to have think on these things with regard to this table and not look at it as, you know, it's just a passing thing, a church religious thing. There we did it. Let's get on with life. No, we would remember who you are remembering. And we trust the scriptures that Peter, who was remembering Christ, wrote all this down for us to look at and think of this morning hour. So we're going to return thanks for the elements here of the Lord's table. It is for those that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the elements are passed, it's a great time for us to pause and have God to examine our hearts, if we have not done that already, and to thank Him for what this is, and to rejoice that we are no longer under the dominion of sin, but the dominion of Christ and His gloriousness and His great grace. So we have the bread. Jay, would you just return thanks, sir, please, for the bread? You know, that nighttime, that hour they were gathered, or maybe hours, in what's called the upper room, and the table and the meal and the Passover meal, and then the Lord instituting His Last Supper. The same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, and tried to follow that pattern, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." That was, it's in the same manner. You followed through with that and passed the cup there after supper. And so, Don, you return thanks for this, the reminding ourselves here of the cup. This again, we read in the scriptures, or continue reading, in the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do you, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of Me." And we're reminded there that as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death till He comes, which we'll be doing with just a few scriptures out of 1 Peter in just a moment. And, first, we're reminded of the love of the Lord to caring for others, and as a local church, we have that belief in heart and mind to show the love of Christ in some outward ways, not just words, but actually doing it. And so the love offering or benevolence offering is going to be received, and we'll ask the Lord's blessing on that. Our Father, thank You for all You've given us. Help us to be faithful in showing our love and care for others, to display Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Coming. That's, you know, the message isn't, well, the Lord's name was done. The message is, He's coming. You have shown by partaking that you do believe that He's coming again. So we continue to partake because it's an illustration, a demonstration of His coming. And Peter had a lot to say about this, as the Lord spoke to him and taught him with regard to his return. Of course, Peter is one of those who doubted. The Lord didn't need to go away and all of that at first. And But we're reminded here in the scriptures that he's coming, and Jesus shall come with glory. We're to be those that are looking for his coming, are we? Sometimes we have our eyes much, much more upon the very temporary than we do upon that which is going to last. But chapter 1 in verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation, that's the coming, revealing, return of Jesus Christ. And again, in verse 13, some similar words where you and I are reminded in the midst of a crooked and perverse world that we're to gird up the loins of our mind. We're to be sober. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then we go over to a verse we've read a couple of times, but continues with the same great topic of chapter 4, verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as to the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. And in all things, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And all the people said, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, and that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. In chapter 5 and verse 11, to him, as to the Lord Jesus Christ, who just remembered today, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And again, all the people said. And we're talking about Jesus' resurrected body. He's coming in a body. He was here in a body. He's in heaven in a body. He's coming in a body. And we have that in chapter 1, verse 3. 4 and 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You say, I got nothing. Well, read that verse. I got news for you. You got all you need, reserved in heaven for you. For you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Ought to get us all charged up, you know. And have resurrected bodies, and the resurrected Christ, and he's coming. And when he comes, these last couple of verses, when he comes, he shall judge the living and the dead. Are we ready for the judge to come? You know, we say, oh, I'm ready for Christ to come. We need to think of the seriousness of what that means. And are we ready to stand in the presence of him? Have we believed that he is the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus, died for sinners, died for me? Chapter 4 and verse 5. Reads this way, they will give an account to him. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. It reminds us that God always gets the last word. And then chapter 5 and verse 4 says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Well, just a few moments. We're going to head home. I trust as we go, we'll be contemplating and rejoicing. And our minds will be, I got a message to tell. I got something worth talking about. Have you become sick of watching, listening political ads that all say about the same thing? I have. Can't wait till Wednesday morning, when, because they'll run them right till midnight on Tuesday. But our emphasis, our thoughts are While we do that which is right with regard to ourselves as believers in a nation, our thoughts are upon things much higher, much purer, much more righteous and gracious. Our dependence is not upon who gets elected, but who is the Lord of glory. We'll sing together.
Take your hymnals.